You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, third and final hour. I was commenting to my comrade in arms, Keith Alexander, during the last commercial break that I'm so glad we do this show as volunteers, because to have this much fun and actually get paid would seem unjust. So we're just happy to bring in enough donations to keep the show on the air. We do have bills and lots of them. I mean, we're a big show. But, yeah, I would feel inappropriate to be paid to have this much fun. And we had a lot of fun that last hour. Now, we're going to be talking about the Oscars in just a second. Now, if you went to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week, you noticed I keep spitting all over my microphone.
Look, we have an intrepid correspondent who rushed in where none but the bravest would fear to tread. She actually braved watching the entire Academy Awards Oscar presentation and wrote a great article about it, which is on our blog. And without further ado,
we're going to give her just a second, further ado, because we're going to take one question from the chat room. Then we're going to get to Courtney from Alabama, who wrote an incredible piece, if I do say so myself, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. She watched the Oscars. She wrote all about it. And I know, Keith, this was actually something, even in advance of Courtney's piece, that you said you wanted to cover tonight. So we've staved it into the third hour. And we're going to get to that in just a second.
Talk about a cesspool. The Oscars was it.
I forgot that the Oscars were on. I normally tune in just a little bit, at least to see the biggest awards. I was watching Breaking Bad reruns on Netflix with my wife, and I totally forgot it was the Oscars until I got on the internet after the fact and saw all the winners. We'll talk about that in a second.
Well, first, the Oscars were Breaking Bad, too, believe me.
All right, but before we get to that, this actually ties in a little bit to the Oscars because it deals with movies and films. We had a comment for you, Keith, from Michael Mike in the Political Cesspool chat room tonight, and he said that the 1996 movie A Time to Kill, you said in a previous episode of the Political Cesspool, was based upon historical fact, but the races were reversed for the movie, which featured, of course, two so-called Klansmen raping a 10-year-old black girl, which I think in the history of the South never occurred, but it occurred in that movie.
Well, white-on-black rapes are the rarest of violent crimes. Almost every year, the Justice Department statistics show that there are less than 10, where there are always more than 100 per day of black-on-white rapes. That's less than 10 means that the probable number is zero, because less than 10 won't register on the Justice Department's computer model.
Well, apparently it was so prevalent that they had to make a movie about it. But you're saying that this was based upon a real incident, but it was a black-on-white rape rather than the Klansman.
And it wasn't just the movie that reversed the races. It was the book written. It was the first novel written by John Grisham, who knew what he had to do in order to turn the heads of the Jewish publishing industry up in New York. But that's absolutely right. But without further ado, let's get to Courtney. Break down the cesspool known as the Academy Awards for us, please.
Well, first of all, thank you for the wonderful compliments that both y'all gave me before I came on just now. I really appreciate that. I just wasn't even planning on watching it. I don't keep up with what comes out throughout the year. But
you were mesmerized once you turned it on, right?
Yeah, it was pretty much everything as expected. Basically everything I broke down in the article as far as kowtowing to the usual victim groups, political correctness, and trying to push in our faces what most of red state America doesn't agree with. But what was interesting was actually who actually won the awards. I didn't even mention this in the article, but all 20 nominees for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, all 20 nominees were white this year. And so that created a huge uproar. And then
well, the big question is how many were heterosexual. That was
exactly. Or who doesn't have anything in the wood pile anywhere? No, but I'm pretty sure, based on what I know about them, I'm pretty sure they're, for the most part, heterosexual, as far as I know. But don't bet on it. Oh, yeah, there's always some catch somewhere. You never know. But it's not just that. The awards overall, let's see, let me pull this up. The movies, the actual movies that, you know, that won awards, with the exception of Selma, and of course I'm leaving out foreign films, animated films, short film, documentaries, although those themselves really weren't all that diverse this year either. But, you know, as far as, you know, regular films, it was really only Selma that wasn't overwhelmingly white. And not only that, but not only were these films that received awards overwhelmingly white, if not all white, but they, for the most part, had wholesome plot lines, for the most part. I know Hollywood is never perfect anymore, but, you know, usually better than past years. And then also, you know, they most of them tended to center around, you know, white men accomplishing great things. And just, you know, whether it was something in science or space exploration or, you know, doing something for the military, American Sniper, whatever, you know, I know everybody has differing views on that, but it's just the overall themes were just, you know, a lot more, you know, very white, very pro-male, very, just a lot more wholesome than they normally are. And,
well, Courtney wrote this magnum opus, folks. It's the most I've read in,
probably 10 years.
More than five paragraphs. No, she wrote this great piece at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And basically, I guess if you could summarize it, Courtney, you would say the gist of it is that as far as the production of the Oscars is concerned, the presentation itself, it reinforced and browbeat everyone to rally behind the protected minorities and the so-called victim groups of the day. But when it came down to actually giving the awards, you sense, or at least in that one night, noticed a trend towards white actors and white films. And I will tell you this, in animated features, Frozen and Tangled in recent years, Tangled being the movie about Rapunzel, and I think everyone knows Frozen. I have a daughter, 4 years old, so I watch these movies incessantly. They are very European in nature, and so you're thinking that even though Hollywood's always going to say everything that they believe they need to say, there could be something behind the scenes going on where they know they can't just produce nothing but anti-white filth, lest the general public not go to it. And you look at movies like Frozen, which was the highest-grossing animated film ever, and even American Sniper, which was, I think, the highest grossing movie for that particular weekend that it came out. They say all the right things, so-called, according to the gods of political correctness, but what they're producing in some ways is not all that. Well, we'll come back and let Keith and Courtney hash it out. And Courtney, you can correct me if I misinterpreted your article there, which people can read for themselves at thepoliticalcesspool.org right after these words from our sponsors.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. So I was basically offering you my interpretation. Let me turn up my mic here a little bit. All right, that should help. I was basically offering my interpretation of Courtney's masterpiece, which has been posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org, The Oscars, a summary by Courtney from Alabama, who's with us now. The Oscars is a big deal. I mean, it gets a lot of press, so we're going to offer our take on it. Here's how she opened her piece in writing, the 2015 Oscars promoted the usual themes and platforms: equality for blacks, equality for women, awareness of the plight of illegal immigrants, acceptance of homosexuality, etc., etc. But what mattered most was the way it ended and who received nominations and, most importantly, who won. From there, she continues to give it a treatment. So we covered, Courtney, a considerable amount of ground during that previous segment. But take it from there in terms of your observations, the way they presented it, and certainly the host of the Oscars itself, Neil Patrick Harris. I think his agenda is pretty clear. Contrasted with the way the awards were handed out when it was all said and done. Your take?
Yeah, what's interesting, and I'm not trying to appear to be an expert or anything on this, but I kind of read up on this after watching them. Apparently. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is in charge of voting on this each year, and apparently this Oscar ceremony had the lowest viewership since 2009. And what that tells me is, if you combine it with what audiences are actually paying to see in the theaters, you combine it with the fact that in recent years we've just had all this diversity really enforced on us, throughout the year in the theater and then also at the awards ceremony, that maybe this year the voters at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences decided, hey, maybe this isn't such a good idea this time. Well, as I say in the article, too little, too late, because they had the lowest viewership this year to, try to correct past wrongs when handing out awards. But apart from everybody who won, yes, it was like the usual diversity victimhood fest that just doesn't represent the majority of red state America with our views. And As far as Neil Patrick Harris goes, you know, I spent a considerable amount of time talking about him. I'm just so, I am amazed. Well, I'm not amazed anymore, but it's downright embarrassing and deplorable how much our standards of humor and entertainment and, you know, what's required to captivate an audience, just how far it's fallen. I mean, I'm so tired of the bathroom humor and, you know, the sexual humor. It's just, I mean, how does anybody sit through something like that?
Well, look,
you know, unless
that's you bring up an important point. That is Jewish humor. I mean, that is stereotypical, not just stereotypical, but very real, typical Jewish humor. They love bathroom jokes. They love, you know, jokes about, you know, what people do in the bathroom. They love all of that. That is very, very typical of Jewish writers. And I think, you know, certainly Neil Patrick Harris was following a script, not that as a homosexual he would have, you know, perhaps any problems with politically correct, you know, Jewish humor, but that is something that you see time and time again. I mean, it's in all of their shows. And I was, you know, it's everywhere. That and their hatred of Christ. You know, I watch, it is a well-produced program. I disagree with everything for which it advocates. But see, I have a brain and a filter, and so I watch things even though I know I disagree with it. House of Cards is a show on Netflix. I have Netflix. I do a lot of work on the computer. I like having background stuff on. Kevin Spacey's a fine actor. You know, I think it's known that he's homosexual, but he has acting chops. And so I watch it because it's a political show. And I think it's very, you know, some of the things that they drive at, it's very real in terms of the way Washington works. And you can see this in House of Cards. And so it's in the third season now. And there is this scene in which, yeah, Kevin Spacey, he's the president in this movie, and he's a bisexual from South Carolina, of all things, a Democrat, but they're attacking Russia in the third season for their intolerance of homosexuals, and he goes into this church and he spits on a statue of Jesus. And even that made me recoil. You know, I've seen so much over the 10 years of covering the media and working in this capacity as a talk radio show host, but even seeing that scene made me recoil. But this is what you can expect, whether it's the Oscars, whether it's, you know, any sitcom, whether it be a comedy or a drama. You can expect this element of Jewish hatred of Christianity and this bathroom humor that you mentioned, which was prevalent even in the Oscars, right, Courtney?
Yes, definitely. In front of a room full of a very large room, an auditorium, you know, like a formal theater setting where the men are in tuxes and the women are in gowns. I mean, as I said in the article, I just can't imagine the host of such an elite ceremony, you know, coming, telling these types of jokes to keep the audience's attention, you know, like at the 1950 Oscars or the 1932 Oscars or... Or, you know, and then there's this one part where he comes out on stage in only his underwear. And, you know, I mean, it's just everything about it's just so deplorable. It's immature. It's something that a third grader would laugh at. And it may have backfired this year because I think that even Harris himself noticed that there were moments where he didn't receive much laughter because apparently the next day, I mean, I didn't really read up on this or look into it too much, but I mean, apparently he was a bit embarrassed by his performance. And there were quite a few times where it was very obvious that he wasn't receiving very much laughter from the audience. Like, even, you know, and goodness, like even for an audience group like that, you know, for them to not even laugh at that, I mean, you know, it's, you know, a Hollywood crowd is pretty much what it is, and so so, you know, even he didn't even get laughter half the time. You know, I mean, for half of his jokes he told. I mean, like even from that crowd, you know, apparently.
I think in your article there was one skit or one scene where Neil Patrick Harris was being called back to the stage and he was using the restroom and he had to come out there in his underwear. You know, this is again Jewish humor, but even that got, you know, kind of a stuffled laugh from the crowd because, as you said, I mean, this is supposed to be the creme de la creme of Hollywood. This is the elite of Hollywood. I mean, I mean, they consider themselves, they're not much more than gutter trash to traditionalists, but they consider themselves to be the exemplars of our culture. And so, you know, even that makes them a little put off. Right, Courtney?
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy. And I mean, I don't want to be the one asking questions here. I know that it's supposed to be the other way around. But I'd like to ask Keith real quick if he agrees with me that the overall beauty of actresses has gone down a lot, you know, as well as the masculinity of actors. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, that's obviously planned. Actresses don't appear to me to have the, you know, delicate features anymore like Grace Kelly had and Vivian Leigh or Audrey Hepburn. The actors most certainly don't look the same anymore either.
I'm sure Keith would answer in the affirmative to your question. Unfortunately, Keith had to bail. You know, he stayed. He was supposed to leave. Well, you know, we rescheduled you tonight. Even you were supposed to come on at 7:30. We had Scoop infiltrating CPAC unexpectedly, so everything got pushed back. And it just so happened tonight that Eddie got the chills and a fever after a run today in the cold, and so Eddie's hour was scrapped because he wasn't able to come in. And if Eddie's listening tonight, I'm sure he is. We wish him the very speedy recovery. Anyway, Keith was only scheduled for 2 hours tonight. He wanted to stay on the first segment of the third hour so he could say hello to you. He's not here to answer your question, long story short, but I'm sure he would agree with you that, yes, women have become men and men have become women in Hollywood. But we'll take a break and continue this conversation with Courtney from Alabama right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. US.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so we've got Courtney from Alabama here who wrote a great piece at thepoliticalcesspool.org, exclusively for thepoliticalcesspool.org, I might add. Her take on the Oscars, and she's on tonight to say basically that while the Oscars paid tribute or at least lip service to all of the protected minorities and victim groups, that when it comes time to dole out the awards, you know, some of the films or actors that kind of look like us were the ones taking home the bacon. And here's the thing, for every Selma, you know, Selma got universally incredible reviews. I mean, I think it got like 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a website that exists to skewer movies. But every single critic in the world said how great Selma was. Well, it bombed at the box office. Now, American Sniper, which, as Courtney said, hey, even members of the Political Cesspool family and listening audience have different views on the movie, but it's a movie about a Southern guy who likes guns and he's heterosexual. And it was denounced pretty hard by the media. And it's a blockbuster. I think it's the highest grossing war movie in the history of film. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. And it wasn't just that. As Courtney mentions at the end of her piece, the Oscars paid tribute to the 50th anniversary of The Sound of Music, which is certainly something that they don't want people associating with. Right, Courtney? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite parts. I'm glad you asked about that. Yes. That might very well be another movie that people disagree on over minor issues, mainly because, you know, it kind of sides with the... Maybe the wrong side of the war. It depends on what people's views are. I don't know. But overall, I've always liked it. I have never had a problem with that movie. It's a very wholesome, white classic. There's so many things that are right about it that portray white people the way they used to act in proper roles. It's one of the last movies. Well, I'm sure there were some afterwards, but... it's one of the last movies that portrays nuns in a respectful manner. You know, now when nuns are in a movie or any member of the church, they're, you know, mocked and made fun of. And then, you know, male-female roles. When Maria was a governess for the captain earlier in the movie, yeah, I mean, there were some moments where she kind of mouthed off a little bit. She didn't agree with certain things, but once she became his wife, it's like she even told another character in the movie, Max, Uncle Max, she told him, you know, please don't ask me to, you know, change my husband, you know, from what he actually is. And so it was just proper, you know, roles in the movie, just very, very wide. It kind of makes you nostalgic. Great music, white people acting properly, for goodness sake, dressing properly. It's just, you know, it's just one of those movies where, I mean, I have yet to meet a white person that doesn't like it. So, and they, you know, I believe that tribute at the end received a louder standing ovation when Julie Andrews came out. I mean, they had Lady Gaga going through all the songs. She did a good job, but, you know, I kind of wish they'd have picked somebody different. But and she was actually dressed appropriately for it, surprisingly.
I didn't recognize her. You know, but the thing is about her, she actually has talent. I mean, you know, here's the thing that separates us from our detractors is that we're honest about that. I'll even say, you know, Just Dance and Poker Face is catchy for a contemporary pop song. I mean, I disagree with everything she stands for, or at least claims that she stands for. I'm 100% against her politically and the things that she advocates. But, I mean, she does have some talent, and she's classically trained. I mean, she can play the piano. And she did a good job in the Julie Andrews tribute, as you mentioned. I mean, you would think someone more conservative or it would have been picked for that. But nevertheless, If she got a bigger ovation, Julie Andrews did when she came out in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Sound of Music, then did Selma, which won, I think, what, best song?
I believe that's what it was. I mean, I have the list somewhere here in front of me. But, yeah, it was just that one award. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Yeah. Oh, here it is. I apologize. Best original song. That's right. Yes, they had a musical number in the middle of it, playing tribute to Glory from the movie Selma. They had an entire musical production up on stage. And at the end, of course, there was a standing ovation, and they zeroed in on, you know, all these actors from the movie, you know, bursting into tears over it. And but yeah, at the very end, when they played tribute to the Sound of Music and Julie Andrews comes out, I mean, it had to have been, you know, a far more powerful standing ovation. At least it seemed that way to me. but I was real happy they did that.
Well, folks, you can fill in the blanks here by reading Courtney's article at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We posted it a couple of days ago, but you'll find it on the blog world without much problem. And she, in addition to her commentary, she mentions the some of the winners of the Academy Awards. I would like to put in this little factoid. This is a little useless trivia, but you know, one of the famous founding fathers of Hollywood was the Irishman, Oscar Meyer. And Oscar Meyer, after, you know, that went on to make an even greater fortune in bologna. You know, when you go to the supermarket in the deli, Oscar Meyer meat is from the Hollywood mogul Oscar Meyer. Well, that is actually, you probably get where I'm going with this, where the Oscars come from. They are honoring Oscar Meyer, the great Canadian. Oscar Meyer. We know he's not Canadian or Irish, right? I mean, I don't need to put it on too thick here. But nevertheless, I thought that was an interesting fact. But you can fill in the blanks here with the rest of Courtney's piece at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Courtney, people very disappointed tonight in you that you were not in the Council of Conservative Citizens chat. Now, I know it was because you were preparing so well for your appearance on the show that you didn't want to be distracted. But they are saying that you are, I think some have nominated you or positioned you as the official cheerleader of the political cesspool. You're like the mascot, but with brains. Now, would you accept that role? Is that that's what people are presenting you as in the chat room tonight?
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm so humbled over that. I gladly accept the role. Yes, I did feel like I needed to focus tonight. Unfortunately, I'm glad you feel like I did a good job. I felt like I was stumbling more tonight than normal. I think it's because, you know, because I wrote the piece first, so I came in. You know, usually I have a script written in front of me when I'm on your show, but tonight I didn't even do that. I just kind of pulled up the piece I wrote online. And
I used to do that, too. You know, I remember the first show I ever went on. It was obviously October 26, 2004. And every word I said on that show was on a piece of paper. Now I don't even know what I'm talking about half the time. I just come in here and rock and roll, you know. But I was there, Courtney. We all have been there. And it's sometimes better that way. But sometimes not. Now it's just all ad lib, I guess. But you did a great job. And folks, if you think she did a good job. Ooh, my levels just went red. That means I'm too hot on the mic, that is. Anyway, folks, if you enjoyed her appearance tonight, if you think she did a good job presenting her take on the Oscars on the radio, you're really going to love what she wrote at thepoliticalcesspool.org, so check it out. Now, Courtney, we only have a few seconds remaining this segment. Anything about the Oscars that you'd like to say that we didn't get into?
Okay, yeah, thank you for asking. I forgot to mention this in my piece. This is a very minor point, but there was one movie called Still Alice that recognized the disease called, you know, the disease of Alzheimer's. And what I find interesting about that, and when Julianne Moore went up to receive her Best Actress Award for that. She gave kind of a little mini speech, you know, recognizing that horrible disease. And I was happy to see that because our country focuses so much on diseases that people inflict upon themselves, like STDs, and or some ethnic disease like Ebola. And, you know, I'm not wishing those on anybody, but we... But what's interesting about Alzheimer's is it's not something people bring on themselves. And I would say, you know, the number one demographic getting affected by it is elderly white people, since most of our old population is white. You know, those are the main people getting affected by it. So I was glad to see that recognized. They made a movie about it. So that's kind of a minor point. But, yeah, and... Yeah, just the take-home is it's just another example of them, you know, trying to enforce all these soapboxes on us that don't represent what most of us in red state America think. And, I mean, when I don't know about you, but when I'm watching this stuff as a Southerner, when I'm watching these things...
Hey, Courtney, hold on right there. We got to take a break. And by the way, folks, I was joking about Oscar Mayer. We'll be back.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We have a special seminar for you on Friday, March 27th at the Get Prepared Expo. From 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, spend the day with USA Prepare's senior instructors, Matt Stein and Dr. Richard Allen Miller. There you'll learn about the three major game-over events and their likelihood, and most importantly, what to do about them. Events so powerful that they can end life as we know it. Yes, they're real, and our senior instructors will guide you to safety. This seminar is limited to the first 100 who purchase tickets on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Your tuition for this special seminar is $85. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. This is an in-depth, all-day seminar, and you're encouraged to take notes. Note-taking materials are provided. Food and beverages are available all day at the Get Prepared Expo, Lebanon, Missouri. Getpreparedexpo.com. Getpreparedexpo.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I tried to work that in right before the last commercial break, folks. I should be more clear when I'm joking, but yeah, Oscar Mayer is obviously not the Mayer who the Oscars are named after. That is Louis B. Meyer, who is the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and has nothing to do with the Oscars at Oscar Meyer. The people in the chat room thought I'd lost my mind, but we sometimes have so much fun here, people can't even tell when we're having fun anymore. But Courtney and I, listen, I want you to have a victory lap in the chat room. They've been waiting for you all night. You got to get in there. There's only 10 minutes left in the show. And but a final word to you before you hopefully join your friends in the chat.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I guess what I was saying before the commercial break was, I don't know about you. I mean, just showing how out of touch these ceremonies are from, you know, mainstream red state America. When I'm watching something like this, and maybe this is sad, maybe this is very sad that it's gotten to this point, I don't know, but when I'm watching something like this and I see amongst the crowd, I see faces like Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, it's almost like, you know, I'm seeing family or somebody I can actually relate to in the room. but anyways, and I don't even know if that's the best example to use. People, I'm sure people disagree with me on that, but anyways.
Well, hey, listen, they are heterosexual Southerners, and they're married and they're committed to one another. I mean, you know, their role in The Help notwithstanding, but or not The Help, but Blindside.
Yeah.
They have so many of these movies, I can't remember. But listen, you know, we appreciate your take on it. Keith wanted to cover the Oscars tonight anyway, and then you wrote the piece, and it took the bull by the horns and just did all the heavy lifting for us, and we appreciate you for that. I want to give you a minute to get in the chat room before the show's over just to say hello to everyone who's been listening to you this hour. And, folks, again, read her piece on the Oscars at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Courtney from Alabama, thank you, as always, for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, I'll let you get to the people chanting Courtney, Courtney, Courtney right now. We had talked, or I'd sent out an email, rather, when I was still planning on the Bombardier being with me tonight. We were going to do a tribute for Bill Rowland. And Eddie had done some of the work on that, or at least I had told him we would be covering that and was going to run this off him. And Keith and I had mentioned it last week as well, but we'll mention it again tonight before we run out of time. And, you know, Bill Rowland passed away 2 years ago this week, on February the 25th, 2013, and I talked last week about how much Bill's sage wisdom and counsel helped guide me in some of the difficult decisions that I had to make as the head man and the founder of the Political Cesspool early on, when we had a chance to take different paths and to respond to the media differently when they called us all of these horrible names. And to run for cover rather than standing strong. And Bill really gave me grounded advice, the likes of which, without, we wouldn't be here tonight. You know, I can tell you that as a matter of fact. And I didn't have to follow Bill's opinion, but he was right. And I did it because he was right, and it was the right play. It wasn't the most convenient or easiest play to make, to stand up and to welcome these attacks. But this is what we've done. And I don't think I would be the leader or the man that I am today if it weren't for Bill's influence. And he was called home far too early, with two children still in high school at the time when he passed 2 years ago, and a young family. And that's something that Sam Dixon wrote about Bill, and I'd like to share that with you. As we remember 2 years to the day almost that Bill went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, Sam Dixon wrote, "Bill was one of the finest men I've ever known, truly noble, sound, intelligent, tactful, polite, and brave. He's one of the rare few who had something to lose but were willing to step up to the plate for our people, as well as one of the even rarer and fewer who have done so while being an all-American family man with a lovely wife and two wonderful children. Bill soldiered on despite the cancer, working both at his job and on the radio with James Edwards. All of you might consider sending his family a note recognizing his brave devotion shown through decades of hard, dull, day-in, day-out work for the resurrection and triumph of our kin." Well, that was Bill Rowland, and that's what he did. And that's until his dying day, he was with us and part of this show. His loss still deeply hurts. I think of him often. He would have savored, as I mentioned last week, every second of last year's 10-year anniversary celebration. He would have been there and enjoyed it more than anyone. And he certainly would have considered, for very obvious reasons, the day that we were to announce by Congress to be among our most finest hours. He would have been proud of all this show has accomplished in his absence, but I think with him, we would be even further along the path to reclaiming America's destiny had he not been taken from us. But even from beyond this earthly realm, Bill still is a part of our fabric, and he shares in all that we do. His impact on this radio show will forever continue to be felt. And I put a video up on the website tonight. You can check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It was a once familiar scene of Bill and I in the studio together, and it's one of the rare video clips of what the radio station looks like, or at least our broadcast studio. You don't get to see the whole station in this clip, but you get to see our broadcast studio, and Bill and I are sitting there across the table from one another, as we have sat so many times before, and as I still sit with Eddie and Keith. You can check that out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But it is important that we remember our heroes. And we certainly remember the heroes who just so happened to be part of our family. And that's Bill Rowland. And we will remember him. We remember him every day. But we'll always be sure to remember the anniversary of his passing. And that's what we're doing tonight. And that's what we did last week. I wish Eddie could have been here tonight and could have joined in with me on this. And we'll cover it again next week. Hell, I'll talk about Bill every week. You can't talk about him enough. He was one of the few people who can say that they were a co-host of the Political Cesspool radio program. And he did a great, great job. And we're here in large part because of him. A true hero. A true star. You know, Keith and I were talking earlier in the night about, you know, this craziness, this lunacy about these different sexual orientations and genders that they now have made available for people to pick from. I mean, it's just preposterous. But so, too, are what the left champions now, and who they say are the heroes and who they say are the villains. It's the exact opposite almost 99% of the time. You know, they got this show Dancing with the Stars. And typically, the people who are on this show as contestants in this dance-off are people who have acclaimed some level of stardom, whether it be in film or some other aspect of life. You know, maybe they were a Hall of Fame athlete. Well, this year, the new cast of Dancing with the Stars was announced, and we'll get Scoop Stanton to talk about this next week. He was going to talk about it tonight until he crashed CPAC. We'll let him talk about it next week, too, but I'll just give you a hint. Michael Sam was added to the cast of Dancing with the Stars, and he was added to the cast as football star Michael Sam. Now, this is a guy who was one of the very last draft picks, barely was even drafted, and then was cut in training camp. Never played a minute of NFL football, but he's an NFL star because he's a sodomite. You know, so he's on Dancing with the Stars now, only because, not because of his athletic prowess, not because he's ever achieved anything other than making out with his effeminate white boyfriend, according, you know, on ESPN. That's his claim to fame. He's not an NFL star. I could be an NFL star, you know. If somebody invited me to training camp, I could go out there and not make the team. He's an NFL star. I'm a bigger star than he is. He's just from doing this show. It's crazy. Well, he's on Dancing with the Stars. We'll talk about that next week. It's sick. I mean, this is their agenda, and they're going to keep on pushing it and keep on pushing it. And let me tell you something. It's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart one day because – you know, I know the six people who control the media are in the tank for this agenda, but the vast majority of Americans are not. And we're seeing the fissures, as I mentioned before. We're seeing the cracks. And this thing is going to implode on their head. And when it happens, it's going to be because good and decent people like those of us here on this radio program and those of you who make up our listening audience never let the flicker of that candle be extinguished. Even in our darkest days, we were keen, as they said, on setting brush fires in the hearts and minds of our people. And one day, that flickering candle in the wind caught a blaze, and this whole house of cards went up in smokes. And that's what's going to happen. If it can happen in Russia, you want to talk about real oppression. I mean, yeah, we feel a little bit of it here, more than we should. The Russians really faced it. And now Russia may be the key to the survival of our people. Who's to say? But they turned it around. We can turn it around too. And when it happens, organizations like the Political Cesspool will have played a part in it far above and beyond the credit we will ever receive for having done so. But we know we're playing a part in it, and you do too. And we ask that you remember that between now and the end of March, we've got our quarterly fundraising drive going. 10% of everything you kick in goes back to the network, and you help us stay on the air. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Donate tonight. I'm James Edwards for my crew. We'll see you next week. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you on Saturday night next week.